Vasudevaya. Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine. Please join me. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Haskaryane Satarine Jayasri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Arvaita Gadadara Shivasadi Jayatam Sarato Pango Mama Manda Mategati Matsarvasva Badambojo Radha Madanamo Ano. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpale Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tam Sitam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijala Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Nandita Sri Vishakan Vidam Cha Manchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Ritanam Vanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, my dear friends and my dear skeptics, there is a great subject that stands right in front of our observative eyes, but which often, due to old habits, we are prepared to overlook. This subject is that God is there in this world as sound. The sound of His name. The scriptures talk about this, the self-realized acharyas talk about it. Various traditions, I'm reminded of the Christian tradition, the Sufi tradition, and so on, pronounce it. But since it is so incomprehensible for the mind, or since it really is so counterintuitive, we are prepared to overlook this truth. We can think about things that we have experienced for a long time. Let me say a word. Pizza with kapari and ahimsa cheese. I think every one of us has a concept what this could be. It gets a little bit difficult when we think of ahimsa cheese. Not everyone knows what that is. Is it like camembert or is it something else? But we still have a possibility to bring some image into our mind. Now when we hear God is Hare Krishna, we go, whoops, this is very difficult to imagine. But it is so. It is so. It absolutely is so. I would like to say one quotation which speaks to all of us. The holy name of the Lord, writes Srila Prabhupada, as recommended in the Shastras, and he gives the whole name. Let us chant together, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. May therefore be constantly chanted by the devotee, aspiring to be constantly in touch with the Supreme Lord. No? When you, as a devotee, have this aspiration, I want to really be in contact with Krishna. I don't like to have a distant relationship. I'm not satisfied in just having this as a philosophical concept, which is, after all, only an impermanent material construction. No, concepts are impermanent. They're eaten away by doubts that come when we have not experienced the truth of the matter before us. Then the concepts all go out of the window. So, if you want something else than concepts, if you want to be an experience of being in touch with the Lord, then you should. You can chant these beautiful names, and it will come. One who is thus able, says Prabhupada, to associate with the Lord is sure to be delivered from the darkness of the created world, which is a product of false ego. These are very strong sentences which you will find in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.25. They inform us that if you aspire for a direct touch with the Lord, and if you want to be delivered from the darkness of your ego world, no, the created world, then this is very good for you to chant the holy name. Now we have all heard sentences like this, we have become attracted to sentences like this, and we have responded to a call. Now, in the process of doing this, we have formed habits of chanting, and here is where a problem lies. I do remember When I personally started to take up the chanting in seriousness, I went to one department store, I bought these beads, I strung them up, made knots between each one of them, and then I chose a very auspicious time. I didn't know better. For me, it was midnight at that time, because there was no one up any longer. There was absolute peace, and my life was extremely full with many things. So 12 o'clock was good for me. There was no one wanting anything from me. And I remember I went into a room which I had cleansed. I had vacuum cleansed the room. I decorated it, and I had put a picture of Krishna. And I still remember I took the beads in my hands, and I said to myself, from this day on, I will chant in all sincerity. I remember I was so excited that I was trembling in my youthfulness. It was not old age trembling, it was just so excited, my dear devotees. I looked at Krishna, I had tears in my eyes, because I thought, now I will be delivered from the darkness of material life, and I will become a pure devotee in 2 weeks. Yes, very enthusiastic. I had read the Bhagavad Gita. It was a blue Macmillan copy of Bhagavad Gita, and so on. But over the years, by practicing chanting again and again, every day, I had to complete 16 rounds, which was not always easy for a young man with so much in his mind and so much on his to-do list. I developed a certain habit that let me get this over with. And I developed a certain relationship with the Holy Name, which was not ideal. Then these habits became stronger than I would like them to be. Habits, if you look at them from a more analytical perspective, they are unconscious impulses that run our lives. You can understand them a little bit like co-drivers, which are next to an insecure driver. The driver doesn't really know where do we go, and the co-driver says, left, right, straight, backwards. And the insecure driver, who doesn't know the way, goes left, right, straight, backwards. His driving is, in other words, run by someone else. So habits, they are external to us. They are deeply embedded in the unconscious mind, and they run our lives. You might remember we had a few japa sessions in the Rose Garden and so on. And some explanation was there, and then we all started to chant, and you can judge by the sound. Most of those who started to chant did not chant. It's their habits of chanting which they had developed which chanted. Habits are unconscious impulses that run our lives. You're not chanting. Really, the soul, you means a part of Krishna, is not chanting. When you say an ISKCON, where many devotees have chanted 1 year, 2 years, some have 40 or 50 years chanted, they go like, okay, chant. Then a program is activated, which is run by habits, and they go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And whatever is their habit, they start to go back to this. Therefore, my dear devotees who have seen movies, take the right door. Don't go in the habitual door. Say to yourself, okay, I have now 2 hours with Krishna. How do I wish to have these 2 hours? I want them to be attentive. I want them to be free of the various obstacles, and I want them to be devotional. Because if I'm not a devotee of Krishna, my life is material and my life is very ordinary, very ordinary. Even if I'm dressed in extraordinary cloth, it doesn't save me from being just a material being. So you must know, even if you have a habit of chanting poorly, poorly, it will feel uncomfortable when you chant, when you try to break the habit. Every time you break a habit, there is some discomfort. You know? For instance, if you want to break the habit of rising early or earlier than you do, the body will be tired in the first week or so, because it's easier for the body and mind to go according to an automatic habit ruled life than to start something new. Psychologically, it has been seen that there was that in marriages there are sometimes, I hear, quarrels between closed doors. So there was this one abusive man who came, who couldn't manage his life, therefore he drank alcohol and he came home and he was quarreling with his wife. More often than not, he was beating his wife. So finally he understood, I'm ruining the life of myself, my family, my wife. I must do something. So he went to a psychotherapist who somehow could you know, tweak him that he was not violent and didn't do alcohol. Do you know what happened? The wife felt very uncomfortable. What's with my hubby? Hubby is husband. What is with my husband? And she started to worry. She was not comfortable. She had become so used to this abusive relationship. It was not, it was mild beating, as I understood. I mean, it was not, the husband didn't go for the kill, in other words. But you know, these very ugly things which people unfortunately do to themselves. The wife, the son, and the daughter, there are many studies on this, felt at first, oh no, this is really bad. What did the psychotherapist do to our fully developed husband and father and so on? There is, these habits are much stronger than you know. Therefore, my dear devotees, if you want to create a more healthy habit, you will have to do some work. You will have to create a new wiring in your brain. You will have to really understand, I am now setting up to do something wonderful. My life is wonderful. You can change habits. There is a story which Purijam Prabhu likes to tell. There was a criminal drunkard who fathered two identical twins. They had the same chromosomes, the same genetic codexing and so on. One of these twins became a criminal drunkard. The other twin became a very responsible surgeon who went once a year to Africa to cure people or operate on people for free. So they both were interviewed. The first one of the twins, who had also developed the habit of drinking, was asked, why did you become like this? And he said, how could I have become anything else with a father like that? So then they interviewed the second twin, who was not drinking, who was very ethical and so on, who had become a surgeon, and they asked him, how did you become like that? And he answered, how could I have become anything else with a father like that? Same material conditioning, different reaction. The first twin thought, well, I have no choice. My father is living an unethical life where he does things which border to crimes, and he has a drinking habit. What can I do? The other said, I'm seeing how miserable my father is by leading an unethical life and drinking. Therefore, let me do something else. My dear devotees, you can do the same. You can say, I'm noticing I have a certain level in my chanting, but you can say, I'm not yet ecstatic. I'm not yet a person who is in love of Godhead. I'm not yet content in my life. Therefore, let me set out now to develop something else. It is possible. There is a science called epigenetic, which has totally revolutionized the modern thinking. In the past, people thought we are forced to act according to the programming which we have, the genes and all of that. The science of epigenetic has proved that this is wrong. They have shown that the human beings anlagen, what he brings with him in the life, is like a bazaar, oriental bazaar. The genes and all these things which are programming us, the past, the traumas, the good things, all these things are like a bazaar, and on this bazaar there are many other things, many other possibilities. So you can say, I don't want to go to the same shops and take the same things from the bazaar. I go to the new herbal shop, to the nice natural soap shop. I go to this shop and that shop. And so in the same way, you can say, I don't go to the same old me now after the retreat. There are so many possibilities in my personality, so many opportunities, so many gifts that has been invested in my life, and I choose rather from them. My dear devotees, you are a bazaar with wonderful opportunities. You don't have to go to the habits of the past, programming of the past, the disappointments of the past, the broken hopes of the past. You have, as a free living being, the possibility to go to the other parts in your personality, to the willpower, to all these good things, your spiritual yearnings which are there, your sincerity, that's all there. And how do we do this? Very simple, my dear devotees, very simple. You were at a holy name retreat, then hopefully there a few, two or three, or maybe even one practice where you felt, this I can do, this I like to do. When I did it, something good happened with me. And you take this particular thing with you and you bring it home. And then you say, when you sit down, oops, you have to be aware. Normally I would go through this door, the door of my old habits, the black door. But today I'm choosing to go through the red door, the new thing, the new idea, the new concept, the new insight, the new jewel which I picked up. Could give many other words for this, and I will do it. If you ask me, Sachinanda Swami, can you please summarize your the holy name experience in a simple takeaway way? We heard many things, but it was quite overwhelming and we can't remember all these things any longer. Can you please make it simple? Yes, my dear devotees, please chant in a connected and absorbed way. Connected and absorbed. How to do this? In the Quest for Enlightenment, Chapter 8, Srila Prabhupada talks about this. And I would like us all now to listen to Srila Prabhupada. If you want to have this quotation afterwards, I must say I was not aware of a book, The Quest for Enlightenment. I didn't know that there was such a book available. It was apparently one of these smaller books which were made from lectures that Prabhupada gave. So maybe you don't have this book at your home. So you can come after the lecture forward. There will be Ram Govinda, and you can take your mobile telephone and make a snapshot of this, and then you have it. I will read it to you now. Prabhupada said in an introductory way, you can chant these holy names of the Lord anywhere and at any time. But it is best to set a specific time of the day to regularly chant. Early morning hours are ideal. Well, there was a lot of editing in this sentence, but this is what Prabhupada said. Anytime works, but best is to regularly chant in the early morning hours. Then Prabhupada continues. The chanting can be done in two ways. Singing the mantra called kirtan and saying the mantra to oneself called japa. This is the idea. You say the mantra to yourself. Listen to yourself saying this mantra, no? Concentrate on hearing the sound of the holy names. As you chant, pronounce the names clearly and distinctly addressing Krishna in a prayerful mood. When your mind wanders, bring it back to the sound of the Lord's name. So, really, he's very, very informative here. You need to concentrate. For this, you need to pronounce clearly and distinctly. And when your mind wanders, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back to the sound of the names. Then he ends his prescription. Chanting is a prayer to Krishna. That means, O energy of the Lord Hari, O all-attractive Lord Krishna, O supreme enjoyer Rama, please engage me in your service. The more, listen to this again, tune yourself in please, the more attentively and sincerely you chant these names of God, the more spiritual progress you will make. Were you able to follow intellectually? So, what was it? What did we hear? First, about the time. Set a specific time of the day to regularly chant. Morning is best. Then, how to chant? Pronounce the names clearly and distinctly. What do we do? That's what you do with the body, with the tongue. Hare Krishna, Krishna. Then what do you do with the mind? Concentrate. When the mind wanders, bring it back to the sound of the Lord's name. Then, what do we do with the heart? Enter a prayerful mood. No? O Supreme Lord, please engage me in your service. These are Prabhupada's very doable, very focused instructions. And this holy name experience was really revolving around this instruction. Be connected, be absorbed. If you're not connected and not absorbed, you won't move. Yesterday I was an endearing scene. I came with Gaur Krishna up the pathway and there was Ram Govinda's, it was not Ram Govinda, it's from his father, this impressive American pickup truck. It is called pickup truck. Highly impressive. You must take a, it has a T-lock on it and so on. And in the pickup department, you know, up there, there were all kinds of young boys and young girls, you know, from Alachua. They were friends. We are going somewhere. We're making a midnight ride. You know, the retreat is mostly over, so let's now be boys and young girls, you know. And they went to old Vrindavan, you know, the very pious children, to old Vrindavan. You know, then I thought, let me look at the disc from the distance. They should not see that I look them because they will feel a little blocked in their expression. So let me just see this useful scene. You know, and so they were loading more people into the pickup truck and, you know, they were getting ready for the night adventure. I think you hoped, so they hoped that maybe we see some ghosts, you know, some, you know. Yeah, young people, that is good, that is natural, they should have some life. So, but then I noticed, and maybe it came from another car, I was not so close. The car was starting, however the gears were not in, you know. And the driver, maybe it was from another car, Ram Govinda will be able to tell me, most probably he was the driver. But imagine a driver putting his feet on the gas pedal for acceleration, he wants to move the car, but the gears are on neutral. They are not connected. The clutch, in other words, is disengaged. There's only sound, loud and impressive sound, but it doesn't move one inch. This is disconnect happening in good and disconnected chanting. Loud and impressive sound, but you don't move an inch because you're disengaged, you're not connected with Krishna, you're not absorbed. There is still a minimal benefit in it. It's not that this is absolutely wrong. You know, Krishna might think they're trying, but when will they ever grow up, these Hare Krishna, Hare Ramas? You know, so you have to... Do you understand the example? It has to somehow, the clutch, I mean, I'm also not so mechanically astute, but it somehow has to get together, and then all this energy will move something else, and then the wheels move, and then you can go to the ghostly haunted... I mean... I'm sorry, you can go to Krishna. Very important, bring the two together. Bring the mind where the sound is, my dear devotees. It is very important. Be connected and be even more than just connected, be absorbed in it. And these simple tips which you will be there. I have unpacked these tips a little bit in this. Do you have it with you? Who doesn't have it? No. Who were on the Holy Name retreat? Ram Govinda will come and distribute these for you. Please have a show of hand who doesn't have. Please give me that because have your hand please up so we have some more for you. Thank you. I would like to go with you through this again. For those of you who expected a traditional Bhagavatam class, see, for time reasons we packed this workshop into this class now. So please understand. So, everyone has? Not yet? Please, Ujwala, yes, you look. They are the gift of the New Vrindavan temple to all of you. You please take them with you. You can photocopy them. You can do everything, I mean, good with them, and it will help you a little bit to revisit. So I'm still seeing. I hope we have enough. If you don't have enough, you can go to the management. If we don't have enough, you can go to the management of the retreat. I would recommend go to Ram Govinda, because we want to keep Anuradha and Jai Krishna free for they can't take care of everything. So I think if you didn't get one by now, no problem. You can order them. So this is. These are some things that you might like to do in your japa. There are three favorable building blocks. There are 10 offenses and 10 defenses and so on. And I would just like to go briefly through them. Please stay with what you hear and don't just start reading them. I want to help you to make sense of it. Good chanting. Hello, hello. Please, the action is here in front of you. Good chanting, my dear devotees, needs a fundament. You can't isolate the chanting of the holy names from the other things which we do in Krishna consciousness. So there are three things which will help you tremendously. Read and understand the philosophy from Prabhupada's books. People, be with devotees who are inspired, not devotees who are not inspired. Be with inspiring and enthusiastic people. That will very quickly help you to do. And then the instruction is Shravanam and Kirtanam. Kirtanam means glorification. It doesn't only refer to doing what we do, doing the 24-hour kirtan. It means to speak. The sound comes in here, it has to come out here. It's almost like breathing. You have to inhale, but if you only inhale, you cannot live. You have to exhale. So in Krishna consciousness, even young devotees, you should try to share your insights. It will be very good to make you enthusiastic. Then, please turn the page to page 2. I will not go through the different points. I will just introduce them so that you know what to do. It is very important. If you want Krishna's presence, you have to avoid offenses, my dear devotees. The result of offenses is that Krishna goes away. He doesn't appreciate this at all. You have to know what these offenses are, and you need to know how to counter them. And you can read everywhere the 10 offenses. They are available, for instance, in Nectar of Devotion. There's a very good reference in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, in the purport. In fact, I remember there was an initiation ceremony where Srila Prabhupada initiated 50 or so devotees in Paris one day. And he gave a short initiation lecture, and then he requested the GBC of Paris, who was there, to please read this purport about the 10 offenses. And he read them. It was wonderful. So you can find them in the second canto. I do not know now where, but maybe Ram Govinda, you can, with your mobile telephone, you can maybe find them. I would just look under offenses in second chapter. Now, it is important what you have to avoid. But there is a slight psychological problem for a person in Kali Yuga. When you only think what you need to avoid, you will most probably be drawn back to your thought. You need to program your mind, in other words, positively. Mother Teresa expressed it in such a nice, compact way that I am not shy to repeat her words. She said, "Don't invite me to an anti-war demonstration. I will not come. Invite me only to a peace demonstration." Because if you engage your mind with something, even that which you want to avoid, you might do it. I remember when I was a child, I needed to learn to drive on my red bicycle. So I had been warned, don't go to the left side of the road. In Germany, we drive on the right side of the road. In America, we also drive on the right side of the road. In England, on the left side. But America, India also left. So I was there, and my mother had said, don't go on the left side. Okay, not on the left side. Not on the left side. Then I saw another bicycle coming on the left side. And then it became really strong. Not on the left side, not on the left side, not on the left side, not on the left side. Bang! I ran into the other bicycle. I told my mother, Mother, your recipe didn't work. And my mother, what did you do? Well, I said, not left. Then I went left. Oops, said the mother. My mother is a good mother. Let me go to a psychologist. Let me see what was wrong. I thought I gave you the right tip. You know, then the psychologist said, don't tell your child what they should not do, tell them what they should do. Then they will do it. Don't punish your child when the child does something wrong. Praise the child when the child does something right. Focus on this. And my mother said, it was a friend of the family, she immediately adopted this. I don't remember punishment in my childhood. I was never punished. But I remember all the time when I, this you did good. Oh, you said something polite to the neighbor. That was extraordinary good. You did this. And this is how I became a joyful child. And yes, I was a little impulsive, but I stopped being a rascal, a bad rascal, a little bit, but not dangerous rascal. So my dear devotees, your mind is like a child. Give him something positive to do. For instance, glorify the devotees and remain respect. No, glorify the great devotees and remain respectful towards all of Krishna's devotees. You can understand, these will defend you from doing the wrong thing. I have taken this idea from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has in the 13th chapter of Harinam Chintamani reinterpreted the 10 offenses by telling what is good to do. Still, if you want to, still you need to also know what you should not do. Therefore, my dear devotees, you can go to the Bhagavatam and read, please take a note, second canto, first chapter, text 11. Please read it as your homework. Prabhupada writes very beautifully and very extensively. It's 2 pages long where we learned to do this. Then, please go on to page 3. You will find 7 practices that support good japa. This is something which you do during your chanting. All these 7 practices are taken from our tradition. There's nothing which is just my opinion, but I have expressed it, in these little catchy phrases, period of the day, place, posture, pronunciation, penetration. That's a word which I have not, which which I wanted to start everything with P for optical reasons, you know, pointed attention and prayerful. These are all very, very authorized and scripturally based practices. Please read them from time to time. And finally, you remember we said the japa reform mood. It is based on the idea of reframing your japa. It's with a prayer of Ajamil. And then the rest is just prayers. Because remember this morning where we said you can, what was it? Single-handedly, no one can control the restless mind. Therefore, you need to pray to Krishna. So there are some very good prayers which Srila Prabhupada has given in the seventh canto. The references are given. I didn't design these things. We have a graphic designer, so I'm not so happy that they put my picture in the end. But what to do? Now it's printed. You can't change it. Go with it. You know. So good. So these are things which come from our heart, those who have organized the Holy Name Experience Retreat for you, so that you can take something with you, something that will help you tremendously. There's a lot of wisdom in these pages. Please accept this gift from our heart to your heart. Read it sometimes. Have it in your home. Share it maybe with friends. Maybe you would like to sometimes share the Holy Name practices and have a little get-together at your home where you go through this and then serve your guests ample amounts of tasty prasadam and have something nice going on and end with kirtan. That is also possible. So, yes, my dear devotees, this is what I wanted to say at this taking the retreat home. You have a takeaway because sometimes when we hear so much information, we may not remember everything very clearly. So this is an attempt to help you to make the best use of the Holy Name Retreat. I want to say, because this is my last opportunity to address all of you, it was a great, great, great kindness which you have shown to myself and the devotees who came with me, because you were just such a wonderful group. It was such a joy to lead you. I need to also excuse myself. English is not my mother tongue, and sometimes inadvertently a wrong word slips into my vocabulary. I'm trying to extend it and tweak it. Also, I'm a descendant from Vikings. The Vikings are a little rude by their nature. So sometimes I say rude things inadvertently. I don't mean it. I want to shake you up, but I don't only want to say nice things, so then something rude comes out of the mouth. I apologize for this. I'm trying to correct it, but I need also to drop a few bombs from time to time. But I could make them more soft bombs, you know. But yes, I wish you all the best from my heart. I know it won't be. I know you will have to give your best effort, it is totally dependent on you, what you make out of your experience. Finally, I also want to say once again, the holy name experience is not over. It starts at 12 o'clock. Oh, sorry, 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock in the temple and goes up to tomorrow 9 p.m. Why is this such an opportunity? You could chant japa by yourself. You can eat prasadam by yourself. You can read the scriptures by yourself or listen to recorded lectures by yourself. You can even have devotee sangha by picking up a telephone at your home or wherever you are and phoning one devotee, or nowadays conference calls are there, many devotees. But what you can't do is coming together with the devotees of Krishna and singing for extended periods of time. Yes, you might say, Maharaj, we can do this on Zoom, but these Zoom kirtans. Yes, if you... if you have no kirtan, if you have nothing to eat, you might eat a stone, you know. But it doesn't nourish you the same way as good succulent bread and vegan butter and some tahini on top nourishes you, no? So this is the one thing, my dear devotees, sankirtan, where we sing with others and where we are carried by the devotional energy which appears. This is the one practice where Krishna personally says, I stand where my devotees mat yatra tatra gayati tatra tishtami. My God, tishtami. Narada. Oh, Narada, listen. I'm not in the heart of the meditating yogi, nor am I in Vaikuntha. No. I am where my... I'm standing. Tishtami heißt, I'm... Tishtami is more like I'm really firmly established there where my devotees come together and sing. So this is the great benefit of coming for kirtan. So therefore I've decided also to end the program a little bit earlier so that it's not we don't go up to 10 o'clock. We will I will take 2 or 3 questions, not more, so that you have enough time to take your breakfast, to rest maybe on your left side, so that your maximum amount of time with us in the kirtan. So I have come to, my words are now slowly dying out. All these words which have walked over this tongue for the last few days have now gone, and there are no more words inside. Maybe a few answers, 3 answers to 3 well-considered questions. Please ask. Here is one question. I see there's Gauravani and a third member, Amala Harinam's mother. Your good name? Kamalini. So we will first start with the first devotee whom I know. No, you is a good. I can see only. Aha, yes. Your good name? Guru something, isn't it?
Lalita.
Lalita, yes. Also good. Sorry, not also good. Very good, yes. So Lalita Devi, please ask your question.
Thank you, Maharaj. I have one technical question and a little practical question. Can I go?
I would say take one of those.
Okay.
If I would be you, I would mix them together. Little tricks you learn in ISKCON. Yes.
Very much for always sustaining us. Maharaj, over the years I have felt that being a very typical Kaliyuga living entity, there is a decent degree of passion and ignorance. And there is a lot of so-called external security in taking shelter of external service, even at the cost of focused sadhana, despite being intellectually convinced about it. Sometimes it is mandatory, like, you know, the organizers of these retreats, if they weren't doing what they are doing, we couldn't have this time. But other times there may be some room to sit back and do the needful.
Yes. Lalita, I get the question, and I will give one of these direct answers now. Please fasten your seatbelt. You have to think about the question of validation. We are a very distinct spiritual movement, and we have standards which we might not question. We are valuable if we do service. We are not so much valuable. This is our main thing, when we are rewarded for service. There are sankirtan lists. At the end of a festival, the organizers will get up and will say, we thank so and so for this service. We thank so-and-so for this donation, and so on and so forth. There's a certain way of validating the quality, and if you work yourself till death, you are the hero of ISKCON. You know, if you take this thing with validation. Now, we all as human beings need validations. We need to be seen. It nourishes us. It is important for us. And so on. But we need to think about it. Do you think, just know, Prabhupada validates you, your guru validates you, Krishna validates you when you chant good rounds. Prabhupada said so. He said, of all the instructions of the spiritual master, his instruction to chant 16 rounds without offenses is the most important one. Question validation, in other words. I will make it very simple for you. In ISKCON, we have dramas. And usually the drama producer will assure us, Maharaj, we did this drama, and you know, we only had half an hour time to prepare this drama. We did so much service. The reaction which comes to me is, I don't want to see your drama. Half an hour is too little to make something valuable, you know. But in ISKCON, everyone goes, oh, half an hour, drama, half an hour. Wow, this is a real surrendered person. It's a wrong validation. Could it be that we, as a movement, have sometimes overlooked essential points and have developed our own culture, which is maybe not always based on deeply considered spiritual principles? I think there is. Validation is important, especially for, I mean, it's all genders, men and women alike, but women have this a little bit more than men. Men are more known as ragged individualism is also there in America. This mood is also there. But validation is so important for people. It has been seen that children who have not received any validation and love from their parents, they turn out psychologically traumatized, even if they have a lot of material things around them. We thrive on validations. There are studies on this. I don't have to, first of all, I'm not so much knowledgeable in these things, but second of all, I think you get the point. You should think when you sit down to chant good rounds, I'm now pleasing Krishna. He likes it. He likes if I chant his name. I'm pleasing my spiritual master. I'm pleasing Prabhupada. And this validation will, this sense of validation will help you to go, to emphasize not only service. By the way, service is also very nice. Please, I'm not saying don't do service. You understand, no? It's not either or, no? Validation. Please think about this. You will discover a lot as you enter this question. How much am I dependent? How much is what I do dependent on validation from others? And could it be the wrong standard? Or not so deep standard, not so important standard? I thank you very much. Gauravani, what is your question? We have a microphone for you.
A devotee growing up in the movement, we used to make excuses for why we didn't like chanting japa. And one of the things we would say was, I go for quality, not quantity. Sitting down, carefully chanting each syllable, maybe half a round, one round. So as I've grown a little older, I recognize that there is an importance for 16 rounds, prescription. But still, as we were chanting this morning, I'm thinking, how do I get all these rounds done if I'm doing it so carefully? And the question that I have is, can you help us understand why this tension is there between the number of rounds that have to be done and the quality of rounds? In other words, why can we not just chant for two and a half hours very carefully? And then that's why 16 and the tension. I hope my question is clear.
And your question is very well posed and very important. I think we all have no question that we should look at the qualities or quality of our rounds, that we should always have in mind. But now, why this number? There are many arguments against numbers within, but also outside. You know, there is Gauravani. I will give you a very honest answer. Also, in my answer, I will try to be brief, so I will go directly to the thing. See, you need to show the Lord that you are serious in getting His admittance into His world. And to sit down and do japa is a very, very good way to do this, because in japa it's only you, the holy name, and Krishna or Radha Krishna. Nothing else. In kirtan, good instruments, motives, good instruments. Like yesterday, the kirtan, a skillful singer. Did you also notice yesterday? I thought, is it already over? We just started. Time seems to stand still when there's, you know, there were Amalet, but there were many supporting voices, supporting instruments, and so on. Kirtan, it's I'm with my friends, I'm with the group, and so on. This has all its value and all its place. It's good to have that in kirtan. I'm not speaking against it, but when you sit down for japa, all this is not there. It's you. You alone. We existential Germans like this very much, but I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, so to say. So I know, I acknowledge this. But yes, and there is a certain number. Mahaprabhu wanted 64 rounds of all his devotees. He says he doesn't accept any food which is offered to him. Whew. From someone who doesn't chant 64 rounds, that's heavy. You know, if he doesn't accept food, then what will you eat? You can't offer. I have to starve. You know, so that was intense. So Prabhupada put the number to 16 rounds. I heard that even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put the number already down to 16 for his preachers who went out and preached, and so on. And this is somehow a number given by a self-realized soul, by Srila Prabhupada. With it, by keeping this, you show Krishna that you mean it. Let us consider a situation where you show. For instance, you are a married man. When the birthday of your child comes, and you remember it, and you come to your child with affectionate glance in your eye, and you bring a present where you know the child likes this present, the child will think, my father is the best. There may be many fathers, but I don't care. My father is the best. There is something about showing up in a relationship and giving a present. I can imagine, I heard sometimes, Bhavan Grihastha said to me, that when his friend's wife, he has a friend, this friend has a wife, and the wife divorced. So one of the reasons she gave for the divorce is, you don't care for me. When my birthday was, you did not even give me a bouquet of flowers. I don't care for you now. Let's divorce. I don't think it's the only reason, but there must be a few others also. But it is expressed in this way, that he did not show up. He did not bring his quantity, a bouquet of flowers. Minimum 3 have to be in a bouquet, everything is good which is above 3, for those who like bouquets. That's too little. That's really, 7 is many. At least in Germany, no straight numbers, unequal numbers. So 7, it starts, my mother told me, it starts from 7. Then you can up, So yes, a number. So you show Krishna that you care for him. And you're not there because of your friends. You're not there because of the melodies. You're not there because you can gain validation by being a good kirtaniya. You are not there for the admiration. You're not there to join another group of people, the kirtaniyas. You are sitting there and you bringing your bouquet of holy names to Krishna every day, again and again. And then this is pleasing. This is, I think, a simple reason. Of course, you could say, yeah, there are 108 gopis and the Bibek is the Rasa dense area and keep the Rasa dense going. I don't know. There are many concepts. I don't know. I've never heard this anywhere so on. You could give many philosophical explanations, but they all come after the fact that this is what pleases Krishna. And but my take on this is always chant with taste and happiness. I will tell you now something, because you are an older devotee, one of the oldest devotees here in this gathering maybe. Gauravani, there are days when I cannot complete 16 rounds. It's just 5 lectures a day, and then I have to travel, and then I have to blow my nose in between. You know, there is no time, in other words. So then I come, it's already 11 o'clock, 11:30, and I have 4 more rounds left. I don't chant the 4 more rounds on that day, because I know it will be sleepy, it will be off. When will these rounds be completed? It takes so long. I do it when I'm fresh in the morning the next day, and when there's also so much to do, then I say, well, Prabhuji, I'm a human being, I just can't, I'm not Haridas Thakur, I need to complete my rounds now and I need to finish this. But I wanted to say, when you feel it's such a drudgery, is that an English word? Drudgery. Yes. It sounds already horrible. Drudgery. You know, I don't think that Krishna is very, very, very extremely pleased. Of course, when this happens too often and you have a backload of 2,111 and a half round, that is not, that's also not good, you know. But some little leeway is there, Prabhupada said, we can make up the other day, and so on. Now, if you have been amiss in chanting your rounds, if for many long years you could not, you have not completed 16 rounds, or you have not been able to give that the place in the life, here is a recommendation which will work. Start with 4 rounds and work your way up to 16. But give yourself a time within maybe the span of half a year or whatever. You are a grown-up person. You have to see yourself. I want to come to my 16 rounds. Then do it. Because you can't force your mind too much, especially when you are older. The mind is no longer, doesn't have this, quality any longer. It's a little bit more accommodating and so on. So this is my tip to you, Gauravani, and I will pronounce the tip now to others. I will never address you like this. I will address it to others. If you are a japa criminal, it's not addressed to you. If you are amiss, find a way how you can work yourself back to it. It's too important, the holy name, to not pay enough attention to it. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We will come to the last question. Kamalini, Mother Kamalini. Yes.
So this week you've been speaking about a lot of our responsibility to spiritualize ourselves. You also spoke about the capsule that has no herb inside of it. Now, we have really extraordinary kirtan leaders.
Your son is one.
My favorite, actually. But, just, you know, objectively. But, now, just hypothetically, suppose some of our wonderful kirtan leaders, you know, they love kirtan, and outside of kirtan, just hypothetically, not really putting in the effort to spiritualize their life. And so what are they giving and what are we receiving in that chanting? I mean, because it's very, very enlivening. Their chanting makes us feel so happy and even invokes emotion for the holy name. You know, we feel a great attraction. But if outside of that kirtan, we don't exactly see the qualities that we would like to imbibe, what are they giving? What are we getting?
Thank you. Now, first of all, let us take note, here is a mother speaking, being concerned of the children of ISKCON. This is a very good quality. The mother is concerned. Mother wants good. Now, this to answer your question, I have changed my opinion very strongly. I was for a time, now I'm telling my opinion. It's only Sachinandan Swami's opinion. There are other opinions who are very valuable also. I'm not saying I have the same thing. Initially, I thought if there is a kirtan leader in ISKCON, especially our talented second generation, and they are interested privately in so many things which are not necessarily part of a temple program or you know the sadhana, then they cannot give Krishna Bhakti, and in their kirtans it is now Krishna Bhakti is coming. I was of this opinion. I also was constantly asked, what is with kirtan leaders? And then names were given, quoted from the secular world, not from ISKCON. There are many kirtanists now also in the yoga studios, and there are many who are not devotees. And I was remembering milk given, which was touched by a Mayavadi snake, you know, has poisonous effects. This is part of our philosophy. So then I was thinking, isn't this similar? Shouldn't we just, is it right to only be unkind to those who are outside by calling them all this? And when our own devotees are sometimes, you know, how to say it? I was inclined to pass the same judgment for the outsiders, which I passed for outsiders to the insider. But I have been corrected. And I'm sorry for my lack of vision. These devotees, Mother Kamalini, who are born in the movement for are very strong believers of Krishna. They are very strong believers of Krishna, especially those who are, it's just in their blood. They may be stronger believers in Krishna than older devotees who are just struggling to forget 25 years of reading Sigmund Freud and Carl Gustav Jung, you know, and so on. And I believe that they are, when they sit down and do kirtan, they do it as the devotee. And then there is a human being also there, which has certain human interests and maybe attachments also. A human being has many things. But when they sit down, they know, I don't want to mess around now. I'm not so good, I know this, but now I want to glorify Krishna and serve the devotees. And I think it is very nice. Krishna does not look at the devotees. There is a Sanskrit word for it. There is no place in Krishna's mind for the faults of his devotees. He sees whatever devotion is there. The outsiders don't believe in Krishna. Sometimes they believe they are God themselves. It's totally different. So, and I think this is what I personally think. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam which says, my devotee knows that sense gratification has a miserable end. He knows that. He has no doubt about it. But still he can't leave it. He can't let it go. What should he do? My devotee should remain happy and hear about me, Krishna Katha. And then, soon after some time, he will give it up. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says here that the devotee is like a drunkard who drinks, and while he drinks, he curses himself. Why do I drink? This is not good. Health-wise, see, I'm getting all reactions from alcoholic consumption. Mind-wise, my mind is turning dull or aggressive or whatever. I'm ruining not only my life, but the life of those who are dear to me. But still, he can't leave it. This is how a devotee thinks with towards his attachment. And by this humble mood, and by doing more kirtan, by hearing more about Krishna, eventually this will naturally, here comes my new word, fizzle out. It will fizzle out. New American word. So, yes, this is my well-considered idea. I recognize there are others who have other ideas. If you would ask some, I especially think of one of my sannyasi god brothers, you would get an entirely different answer. But this is the beauty of Prabhupada's movement. There, I quote my verses to make my point. I think ultimately, Krishna is a kind God. I cannot think in other words. There's a verse, and I will end with this. Two devotees talk about Krishna. Why do they like serving him so much? And then one devotee says, because Krishna appreciates even the tiniest amount of service of his devotees. He appreciates so much. And then Krishna is prepared to tolerate the most intolerable offense against him by someone who's on the path of, and when he sees his devotee suffering, his heart is also suffering. So this kindness of Krishna, I think, is important. And by the way, these devotees I have seen, and I was of a different mindset, and I have seen they are believing in Krishna, they glorify in Krishna. Yesterday I said to one Kirtaniya, let's do a kirtan for Krishna. And the Kirtaniya said, for Krishna, yes, for Krishna. It's clear, it doesn't need to be negotiated, it doesn't, and so on. I thank all of you very much. I would like to, oh my God, I have gone to the time now. It's 9:50. That's the time where we wanted to end. I request all of you to take care of yourself, take prasadam. At 11 o'clock, we start the kirtan here in the temple room.